66. WFAN, New York.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And look, I'll admit, I don't really care that much about the NBA All-Star game, but I do look at things through a Knicks lens and an NBA league lens. And so to get the information from there and how it might relate to the New York Knicks, we bring in Mark Berman from the New York Post. Hey, Mark, how are you?
Doing great, Laurie. Thanks for having me.
So speaking of things with a Knicks lens, I did have to just look up. I saw that Team LeBron won, but I saw that it looks like Kevin Durant won the MVP there. So let's start with that. Is, you know, were any interesting dynamics when we think about potential free agents, the offseason, the power dynamics, and, you know, now it's gotten to the point where, you know, forget tampering, but everybody's always wanting to know which players, who's talking to who, and who might form you know, big twos and big threes in the off season. So give us a sense of some of the power brokers and how things have been, the dynamics that you've been seeing over the last couple of days.
Well, yeah, Durant does win the MVP, which definitely means he's coming to New York next year.
Exactly.
But no, it was a great, actually, comeback. They were down 20 points. Team LeBron was down 20 points in the first half. And, you know, they just stepped up their game in the second half. They let Giannis do what he wanted in the first half. Usually the first half, no one plays defense, and Giannis really took advantage. But listen, I was with Kevin yesterday with a few reporters at the availability, and you know, I try to ask him as many Knick-related questions as possible, but he clearly was not there to talk about the future, except the way I get it is, you know, one of the things he said was, you know, I'm going to play the end of the season and I'll sort out my future after that. And that is quite different from Klay Thompson, who's at the podium right next to Kevin's podium, and Klay Thompson says, I hope to retire a Golden State Warrior. So, I mean, without a doubt, Kevin has a wandering eye, and I think the Clippers or the Knicks are going to be the two teams with the best chance. The Clippers made that Tobias Harris trade. They almost have two max slots. The Knicks definitely have two max slots. I asked Kevin about the Porzingis trade and what, you know, what he thought of the Knicks opening two max slots, and he gave me an answer. Listen, I'm with the Golden State Warriors. I can't worry about another team's transactions, but I'm happy for Porzingis because he moved on to where he wants to be. And that was pretty much the extent of it. He talked about DeAndre Jordan. He said he's a friend of his and he'll be happy there. He's in a good spot there.
So when we think of Kevin Durant and possibilities and all of that, any sense from the people, you know, you're obviously around people then who are covering the Warriors or people who've covered Durant from his OKC days, and you mentioned has a little bit of a wandering eye. You know, leaving Oklahoma City and going to Golden State obviously seemed to be about championships. Now, though, do you get a sense from Durant in terms of is this next contract, is this about his legacy? Is this about wanting to be the man again and missing that with that Golden State team? Or any sense from talking to people who've really been around him a while what he'd be looking for?
Well, I think the best hope for the Warriors is that he signs for one more season. You know, one of those, the same contract, a two-year deal with a one-year opt-out. So he could get to San Francisco. The Warriors franchise is so looking forward to getting across the bay and opening their new arena in San Francisco, and they'd love to have the Big Four all together. So that's what they are hoping. Just one more year with Kevin Durant, and then he can do what he wants. But, you know, and the Knicks may be able to roll over their cap space and be in position in 2020. But listen, a lot depends on what happens in the playoffs with the Warriors, how they get along. But there's no doubt that the legacy for Kevin Durant right now is he joined a team that had already won the championship, had already won 73 games. And the belief is he wants this new great challenge, a challenge that would top maybe what LeBron James did. If he could come to New York and take this miserable franchise that has missed the playoffs for six straight years, that has been a laughingstock for nearly 20 years, mm-hmm. and get them into the NBA Finals, I mean, that's sort of heroic, and it's sort of something LeBron James did not want on his table. He passed up the Knicks a couple of times. So that's the motivation. The other motivation to go to the Clippers to compete against LeBron James in the L.A. market. The Clippers have always been, obviously, second fiddle in L.A. That would be another incredible challenge, and they would have possibly two max slots where Kevin could bring someone else along.
Now, do you have a sense of who that other player that Durant would most like to play with would be? Is it, you know, obviously Anthony Davis would have to come in a trade, so that's a different story than signing two free agents. If we're talking, I guess if we're talking free agency, any sense of who Durant would prefer?
I think Anthony Davis would be a nice pairing, a terrific pairing. The Knicks would unfortunately have to give up some assets, you know, significant amount of young assets.
Right.
So they'd drain the cupboard a little bit. But listen, Dennis Smith Jr., to me, is still a risk. I know the Knicks made this big trade, and they're talking up Dennis Smith Jr. as the future point guard of the franchise. But he's got a long way to go. The obvious guy who would want to be in New York, it's not Kyrie, it's not Clay, it's probably not Butler. It's Kyrie, who's on the record saying how the Knicks are an intriguing franchise for him, being from across the George Washington Bridge in West Orange. So, you know, they get along. They're not great friends, but, you know, he's a point guard, and Kevin Durant's a power forward, and they could make some magic in New York. I think that is the likeliest scenario. Again, Klay Thompson, I would be shocked if he left Golden State.
So best case scenario for the Knicks off season would be, win the lottery and win Zion Williamson, sign Kevin Durant and sign Kyrie Irving. Is that best case scenario, or is best case scenario that you gave up Zion and all your young assets and you end up with Kevin Durant and Anthony Davis?
Yeah, the miracle scenario is Zion, Kyrie, and Kevin. The Knicks will have the best chance to win the lottery with two other teams. They'll share the same 14% odds, which I tell everyone is the 86% chance of not winning the lottery. But even if they get R.J. Barrett at number
right.
two, and, you know, that's probably a 30% chance of finishing in the top
yep.
two. Barrett looks like he's going to be sensational.
Yep.
Unfortunately, this draft isn't that deep. Reddish, I've seen him play. He's going to be an NBA player. Is he going to be an NBA star? It's really tough to tell during his freshman season. And Morant out of Murray State is, you know, skyrocketed up the mock drafts. I've seen him play. He's a terrific athlete, a terrific passer. He turns the ball over like crazy, and he's playing against mediocre competition in that conference. But, you know, with Dennis Smith Jr. there, you know, if you bring Kyrie, you don't need Morant. But, listen, I think there's three real impact players right now in the draft, and that's Morant, Barrett, and Zion.
Well, Knicks have to, you know, we don't usually talk about the Knicks and getting lucky. It feels like it hasn't happened since Patrick Ewing, but I guess there's always a first time for things. Talking to Mark Berman from The Post about the Knicks, about the potential chess pieces that could move around. I was watching, you know, I know coaching the All-Star game and being there, obviously, Mike Budenholzer from the Milwaukee Bucks, is the Bucks having a heck of a season with Giannis. But in the offseason, Budenholzer leaving the Atlanta Hawks, and he had also worked Magic with them previously, and had expressed an interest in the Knicks. Now, do you think that Knicks brass at this point, watching what's happening with Milwaukee, Scott Perry, Steve Mills, any second thoughts about hiring David Fizdale instead of Mike Budenholzer? Or, in your opinion, did they make the right call since they knew this was a tanking, rebuilding type of year?
Yeah, I think that there has to be a pang of regret when they've watched Budenholzer work his magic with the Bucks, best team, best record right now in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And the kicker to it is that Budenholzer was more interested in the Knicks job than the Bucks job.
Right.
He really loves New York City, but the second reason is he told Knicks brass that he really was intrigued with coaching a talent like Kristaps Porzingis. So, you know, you add both those factors in, it's like if Budenholzer becomes the Knicks head coach, maybe Kristaps Porzingis and the team starts winning more games than Fizdale has won. We're talking about Kristaps Porzingis still as a Knick.
Yep.
So, but listen, everything will play out this summer to see what kind of, if this was the right decision to trade Porzingis, if they are able to use their cap space in a big way. Dallas is thrilled. You know, I just spoke to Nowitzki, and, you know, Porzingis is even trying to convince Nowitzki to come back next season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think Nowitzki is probably going to retire, but who knows? But, yeah, Budenholzer, just an incredible job in Milwaukee. He's an incredible coach coming out of the San Antonio system.
Yep.
You know, we all talked about Fizdale coming from the Pat Riley tree, but there's been no defense played in New York this season at the Garden. And it's almost like he tends toward playing offensive-minded players as opposed to defensive players. So yeah. The jury is out on David Fizdale.
Well, that's been the biggest disappointment to me, is just the lack of defense played. And yet then now he's talking about, which I'm fine with, but when it came to the center position now, wanting to play Jordan instead of Cantor because he wanted defense, but we really haven't seen much defense. And I got a question from one of our callers before, people who hate tanking. And question to you, if you were in the position, let's say, of the Knicks, if you were running an NBA franchise, where would you stand on tanking, and what kind of chances it gives your team to get better, and really compete?
Right, well, Adam Silver had his press conference last night, and he said this before, but he said it in a very strong way, that he hates the idea that a franchise thinks tanking is going to help them in the long run and build a winning culture. He says it's a corrosive effect. It builds actually a losing culture, and he sees a lot of these tanking teams, and I don't know if he was referring exactly to the Knicks, but definitely Orlando and Phoenix and a couple of other teams that have been on the bottom, that, you know, it just creates this losing environment that they can't get out of. And the lottery is a crapshoot. And, you know, the Knicks are only in their second year of kind of trying not to win. Before, with Phil Jackson, they made moves to try to win and take advantage of Carmelo Anthony's final couple of years of his prime. But Adam Silver thinks it's horrible, and he wants to continue to change the lottery format to give less motivation to lose games. And I was talking to Charles Barkley tonight, and Charles said to me, it's so easy. Just give the 30 teams the same exact odds in the lottery. And it will be still fascinating television in mid-May. And why give incentive to have a team lose games? He doesn't understand it. He feels it's such an obvious solution, and he doesn't know why Silver doesn't just go radical and say all 30 teams have the same odds to win the number one pick.
All right, Mark Berman, appreciate you calling in from the press room in Charlotte at the NBA All-Star Game. Appreciate the time. Catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks a lot, Lori. Take care.